Hello, everyone. The Biden administration continues to act contrary to logic, law, and humane values in response to Israel's war policies. Despite overwhelming evidence of Israel's war crimes and acts that constitute genocide, the administration plies the right-wing Israeli government with more weapons. The latest arms package being prepared by the administration will reportedly be the largest since the October 7 Hamas attack. Valued at around $18 billion, it will include 50 F-15 fighter jets and precision-guided munitions kits. While delivery of the jets will not take place for about 5 years, it sends an utterly wrong signal. Besides, the administration has already approved immediately sending more 2,500-pound bombs. Many critics, including some within the administration itself and in Democratic congressional circles, have pointed with alarm to the obvious contradiction in U.S. policy between supporting negotiations on a ceasefire and hostage release on the one hand, and continuing to ship non-defensive weapons to Israel on the other. The contradiction applies not just to the immediate situation in Israel, but also to overall U.S. policy on the abuse of military aid under NSM National Security Memorandum 20, which specifies that arms recipients must adhere to international and American law. Israel, while giving assurances about its use of U.S. weapons, has violated U.S. policy guidelines in numerous ways. For instance, bombing hospitals and other civilian targets with U.S. bombs, and using U.S.-supplied white phosphorus munitions in densely populated areas of Gaza. Such violations make the U.S. complicit in Israel's war crimes and genocide, which Oxfam and Human Rights Watch documented in a joint letter submitted to the administration March 13. Just recently, the UN Special Rapporteur on Palestinian Rights condemned Israel's genocide, her word, in Gaza and proposed an arms embargo on Israel. More and more Democrats are lining up behind the idea of some kind of arms transfer limitation, defying Biden's effort to assuage them by abstaining on the latest UN vote on a ceasefire and criticizing Israel's obstruction of humanitarian aid for Gaza. But suspending arms aid to Israel, which can range from all arms to bombs alone, seems off the table. It might be argued that the president is in an impossible bind during an election year. No policy can satisfy both pro- and anti-Israel groups. But on balance, it might be said, the political costs for Biden are probably greater if he openly and consistently confronts Israel than if he straddles the fence as he's doing now. The Trump factor, as well as traditional pro-Israel forces in Congress and lobbies, all exert considerable influence. Biden and his advisers evidently have concluded that he will simply have to weather the defections of some Democratic Congress members and heat from Arab Americans. What he should give greater weight, however, is to the extraordinary human costs of this war, which will only grow with each passing day in which his administration fails to move the Netanyahu government to a settlement. I don't doubt Biden's sincerity when he says he feels the pain of Arab Americans, says Israel has not done enough to reduce civilian casualties in Gaza, and says he is outraged and heartbroken over the deaths of the 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers. Nor do I underestimate Biden's anger with Netanyahu when they spoke April 4. The president called the overall humanitarian situation in Gaza unacceptable, demanded a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers, said an immediate ceasefire is essential, and made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. All that is well and good as far as it goes, but demands and vague warnings probably won't go far enough, for as we have seen time and again, the Netanyahu government has defied U.S. wishes. If the Biden administration wants to be taken seriously, it must use the leverage at its disposal and make clear to Israel that failure to comply will lead to a stop in delivery at a minimum of non-defensive weapons. Stopping arms transfers is the key to compelling a policy change in Tel Aviv and helping reduce civilian casualties. Otherwise, U.S. policy will continue to be perceived as helping prolong the war and contributing to the horrific humanitarian crisis in Gaza. I'm Mel Gertow for the Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.